So I go and get Becky. I said, you've got to come with me. So we went, got all these groceries, took them over to her, you know, and so forth. Got dog food for the dog and all of that, you know. Why did I tell you that? Well, God was well pleased. I wasn't happy about it, but God was well pleased. Amen? Yeah, that's right. And so what does it say? That you do good.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello once again and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, What is the Church? As a study from the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter continues. Now, Pastor Bill.
Now, he says, behold, I lay in Zion, that's Jerusalem, a chief cornerstone, elect, meaning God says, I chose it. It's precious. This precious cornerstone is highly valued by God. Now, watch this. And he who believes on Jesus, he who believes on him, will by no means be put to shame. The word there, no means, is a double negative in the Greek, so emphatic. So it would be no never be put to shame. So those who trust in Jesus will never, it means you'll never be disappointed. Have you ever been, are you disappointed because you trusted in the Lord? No, not at all. Now, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And back then, the buildings were tremendously different than the way we do it today. The chief cornerstone, it was the most important stone in the structure. It was the plumb line. It was where you pull all measurements from. It was to keep the walls exactly level and plumb and all that. So that's what that's talking about. It means this. We are living stones connected now into the building by the living stone. And Jesus is holding us all together. By him, all things consist. So he's the cornerstone, but Jesus is also the foundation stone. That's why Peter quoted there from Isaiah 28:16, which says this, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. So look at verse 7 again. Therefore, to you who believe, and we do believe, Jesus, oh, he's so precious, amen. But to those who are disobedient, meaning those who refuse to believe in the Lord, the stone which the builders rejected, or they considered it worthless, okay, has become the chief cornerstone. Now, remember, who is he talking about here? He's talking about Israel. Remember what Israel did? Jesus came to them. He was their Messiah. But did they accept him? No, they rejected him and so forth. They wanted nothing to do with him. And then, you know, the parable in Matthew chapter 21, you need to read it later, of the wicked vine dressers and so forth. Jesus, you know, was telling that parable to the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious rulers. And because they wanted to rise up and kill the Son, who is Jesus the Lord. And he says here in verse 42 of Matthew 21, Jesus said to them, have you ever read in the scriptures, and he's going to quote Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone, meaning Jesus, the stone which the builders rejected, meaning all of Israel, has become the chief cornerstone, and this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Listen, the foundation to all victory is found on one foundation and by one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't build your life for a person that doesn't believe the gospel, and you don't build your life upon the Lord, then he is your stumbling stone. Look at verse 8. Peter's going to quote Isaiah 8:14 here. He says, a stone of stumbling, something to trip over. How's that sound? And a rock of scandalon, or a rock of offense. In other words, Jesus offend them. It says, so a rock of offense, they stumble, and look why they stumble, being disobedient to what? To the word. In the Greek, it would be unpersuadable. In other words, the word of God, it has absolutely no effect upon them. They don't believe it. They stumble. So those unbelievers then and unbelievers today. But this is a deliberate rejection a deliberate refusal to hear and believe the word of God. And look what it says then, to which they also were appointed, to which they, who is they? That would be Israel. This is what we're talking about here. So Israel, it says they were appointed. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean that God says, I appointed them, I ordained them, where no matter what, they couldn't believe and trust me? Is that what that means? No, not at all, loved one. It means that their disobedience, it wasn't ordained, but as a result of disobedience, loved one, the penalty is. See, eternal destiny is determined by one's heart, isn't it? You either believe in your heart about the Lord or you don't. And so the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Amen? Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So to those, they didn't believe. Jesus was a stumbling block, and he was an embarrassment to them. In other words, they were something I had to kind of trip over and walk over, just an obstacle. So Jesus is either a person's rock or rock of offense. But here's what I want you to remember, and I know you know this, but I just want to emphasize those who may be listening on the radio around the world. Just because Israel rejected the Messiah, is God through with Israel? No. Good church. Now, because we don't believe in what the false doctrine of replacement theology, teaching that the church has now replaced Israel, okay? That's not true. The promise that God made to Abraham, the covenant that he made, is an everlasting covenant. It'll never be broken. And Israel is not going to be rejected by God. Right now, blindness has happened. Amen? Until that time. So the fact of the matter is, Israel is a nation again. Something has never happened before in our history. So the church hasn't replaced Israel. So if you go later on to Romans 9, 10, and 11, if you read those three chapters, you'll see that about Israel's election, Israel's rejection, and Israel's restoration at the end of the age. Remember what's going to happen at the second coming. Israel is surrounded, and the Lord comes, and it says that they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn. In other words, a remnant is going to be saved. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this is important to just for your study later. There's so much information here. If you study out Daniel chapter 2, that is one of the most remarkable. It gives you the history of the world, and it tells you the last kingdom that's going to be on this planet, and that kingdom is his kingdom. Amen? So Jesus is not only a stumbling stone now, but one day, in Daniel 2, you can read it later, he is going to be the smiting stone. All the kingdoms of the world will fall, but his kingdom will be established forever and ever and ever. Amen? Very important to know that. Now, but look at verse 9. He says, but you, and again, that is plural, but you are a chosen generation. Isn't that wonderful? Meaning you are a chosen race. Here we are, we've been grafted in, amen? Boy, and so remember those that God chooses, he chooses for service. Jesus told us in John 15, 16, he said, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you and anointed you that you'd go forth and bear much fruit. Amen? So Jesus is the one that chose us. What a privilege. He says, but you are a chosen generation, but you're more than that. Look at this next one. You are a, what is the church? The church is a royal priesthood. Have you ever called yourself a royal priesthood? Think about that. I mean, nowhere in the entire New Testament is the word priest used for, say, a pastor, elder, deacon, or whatever, or any of, we don't do that. I mean, I've had people call me a lot of things, you know, but never a priest. I've had people call me Father Bill. I'm not Father Bill, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm Buffalo Bill, but that's another one. So, but the thing is that we need to understand that what a privilege. The word royal is only used here in the New Testament. It means royal lineage. Why? Because we're in the royal one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Next time somebody says that, you know, they talk about the family in England, the royal family. Now you can tell them, I belong to the royal family. I belong to the real one, amen? The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God and through the Father. Man. So here we are. We're a chosen generation. That's what the church is. The church is a royal priesthood, and the church is something else, a holy nation. That's taken from Exodus 19:6. That's what Peter is doing. We are a holy nation, completely set apart and dedicated to God, the church, for His plans and His purposes. Amen? Now listen, holy nation. Every nation on earth is going to pass away. They're going to pass away. But the nation that we belong to, that holy nation, it will never, ever pass away. No, never. A holy nation, they have a constitution. You know what it is? It's the living Word of God. Where does our loyalty lie? To the Republicans or Democrats? No, our loyalty is to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Amen? Oh, forever and ever and ever. But not only we're a holy nation, what else is the church? His own special people. I always preferred the King James Version, peculiar people. We are a peculiar ones, aren't we? I told the early service that when I was a young pastor, I mean a long time ago, I had another pastor that I didn't know much about his congregation, but I knew him a little bit. Anyway, he calls me, Bill, I cannot teach the evening service. Will you just go... I said, well, okay, but it was late in the evening. It was 5 o'clock. The service was like 6:30 or 7, whatever it was, and it was about an hour drive. So I didn't have an idea what I was going to teach, and so there I am. I'm driving. I said, Lord, what am I going to – I want to do a good job. What do you want me to say? And I'm praying, and I just in my spirit comes up to teach on that you are a peculiar people. I said, okay. So I get there, and I'm thinking, I'm praying, and I walk into that place. Now, I'm dressed in a suit. That was, you know, that's when people dress nice. Now we have no taste at all, but, you know, we were a little decent back then. And so I go in there, and the moment I got to the church, I knew I was in trouble because there was not one car. It was all motorcycles. I walk in, and everybody's in leather, man. I'm talking about chains and boots and sunglasses and those things they wear around your head and I got up there and I said, oh, Lord, do I even have a will at home? Because they're going to kill me. You know what I'm saying? And I said, guess what the Lord wants me to teach today? I said, or tonight. I said, that you are a peculiar people. Okay. Now, he says, you're your own special people. What does that mean? You are God's unique possession. He loves you. Can you believe that each of us can say that we're God's own unique possession? I mean, I don't even want to possess me. I don't even like me. And he says, no, you're my own unique possession. Acts 20:28, it says we were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, the church. That's who we are. And not only that, look at these privileges. What do we do with all these kind of privileges? Look at this responsibility we have. It says that you, the church, the universal church, every believer, may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. The word proclaim, that means that we, the church, we are the messengers of God. We have a message to this world. It means that we are to proclaim or advertise, show forth, if you will, who God is to this world, who Jesus is to this world. So living stones are God's living advertisement to a world that is not ours. We live in enemy territory, amen? And we are the only advertisement that this lost, dark, stinking world will ever see. But we have to show forth the praises of God. We have to tell of His wonderful works. We have to be the ambassadors of Christ, the fishers of men, amen? That's what that's talking about. Listen, the world, this is all we're going to see is us. You remember what Paul told the church at Corinth? He said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, who always leads us in victory in Christ. But the only way that he can lead us is if we are following him. Amen? And then that's where the victory comes in. So it goes on and he says this, and he says, and through us, diffuses or manifest the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Wherever we go, that's what we're to be doing. And it also, and then it goes on and says, and we are then the fragrance of Christ. Philip says, the unmistakable scent of Jesus, the Christian is. We are the fragrance of Christ to God and also to those that are being saved and those that are perishing. We are a witness to this world. Amen? That's why when we look in our text next Sunday, we're going to find that Peter says, you're so generous and so forth. And he says, your conduct, let it be honest in the eyes of these Gentiles and so forth. Why? They're seeing you. You're God's living advertisement, if you will. But look at this next part here. He says, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you know that you were in darkness before you were born again? I didn't either. But I didn't know I loved darkness before I was born again, but I did. Oh, and he says he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous light. It says that God dwells in inapproachable light. You can't approach it. The light. It's not like light, like these light. It's light, his marvelous light. Why is it marvelous? Because God's light, does it ever go out? It never, ever goes out. The psalmist just says, in his light, we see light. Loved one, listen, we're the church. Spurgeon said, what God has lit, the devil and darkness can never put out. Amen? Well, that's a true word. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light, the light in the Lord. He says, walk as light. You know, when we follow Jesus, John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's what we are, loved one. We are the church. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:13 that we have been rescued by Jesus. We have been rescued from the power of darkness, from the power of darkness. And we've been translated or conveyed over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We don't belong to this world. We don't belong to darkness. We are the light of the world. Amen. Now, look at verse 10. Who were once not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained or fully obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Aren't you glad about that? God, who is rich in mercy, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Man, thank God he made us alive. Now, listen to me. You know, listen, what are we going to do with these incredible divine privileges that are only found in you, in the church? What are we going to do with that? I mean, listen, has God called us just to sit in self-righteousness? No, are we ambassadors of Christ? Absolutely. Now listen, if the rock, the living stone, if the rock of our salvation, if he lives in us, the rock in us, the living stone in us, if we're a living stone, then don't you think we should manifest the rock, the one who saved us? The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, if you say that you abide in him, that we should walk even as he walked. You're never safer than to be on the rock. Remember that old song on Christ, a solid rock I stand, all others sinking sand, amen? Oh, that's who we are. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, it says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things unto him who is the head, Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body, the universal church, joined, knit together in what every joint supplies. Every joint, we're all connected. It says, according to the effective working by which every part, every living stone does its share, causes growth in the body, edifying itself in love. Now listen, this is going to sound negative, but it's not negative. It's just truthful. You know, there's one thing about being older, okay? I'm not particularly fond of being old, okay, or older. I'm not finding a lot of joy in it, okay? But the fact is, one thing that you do have is that you have been around long enough to see things. I've been around a Christian a long time. I've been a pastor a long time. I've been in so many different churches teaching in different denominations, and I love them all that love the Lord. But I have noticed a slow progression over these many, many years that it's really sad for me, and I'm probably sad for many of you as well. That is this, that I've kind of watched the church. All of a sudden, they start living like the world, and then they start acting like the world, and they start, well, like I said, they look like the world. Well, that's not a good thing. In other words, you know, the churches today, a lot of them, and I say this tenderly, they're trying to please people to get them in. You know what I mean? A little seeker-friendly. We don't want to mention certain words that, you know, like sin, hell, repent, or any of that. It could really mess somebody up. Hello. You know? And so, you know, we want to be politically correct and all that, you know. So if you have a worldly, politically correct church, well, can that kind of church help the world? No. No. Everything is so strange today to me. And I say that tenderly again. But listen, where in the Bible... Where in the Bible does it teach us that the church, that we have to make the church a cool place? But you have to have a cool pastor. Cool pastor. Now, you know, Pastor Raul, he's cool. Pastor Hector, he's very big and cool. Pastor Thomas, he's pretty cool. Cisco, he's learning to be cool. Me, I'm cool. I don't want to be cool. In summer I do, but you know what I'm trying to say. And I think about all of that. I mean, okay, make the church upbeat, make it entertaining. It's got to be cutting edge, relevant, popular. We have to have a comfortable preaching environment. Well, listen, do you find that in the Word of God?
No,
I don't either. And you know, what I find in the Word of God is Christians seem that they want that, but here's what I want, and what I want for all of us is right here, what we just learned. I want to know and be that living stone. I want to be that a part of that spiritual house, that holy priesthood, that chosen race, that holy nation. I want to be the church that God says we are. Amen? That's what it is. Listen, what have we done all these over three decades? What have we done here? We teach the uncompromising living Word of God that came from the living God and teach it to living stones. Amen? That's what we're to do. You know, we don't want to water down the Word of God. We don't want to make the Word of God anemic. You know, we don't do that here. We don't bend our knee to the world's ideas. We don't bend our knees and conform to the world. Amen? We don't bend our knees and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do the pronoun right. We don't do that here. We love those who say they want their pronouns to be said a certain way. Do you understand? But we don't bend the knee. The Word of God is our guide. This is the Word of God that Psalm 138:2, that God says, I have exalted my very word above my name. That's how much this word means to him. No, listen, we don't do those things. You know, we bow our knee to the one who died for our sins that rose from the dead. His name is Jesus. And we speak the truth in love. We're always going to speak the truth in love here, but sometimes those that listen on the radio, sometimes those that are listening live around the world, sometimes people who come to visit, they get a little upset. And I say, well, I'm speaking the truth in love. Well, it offended me. Well, the Word of God can offend you, okay? But that's not my problem. That's your problem. Amen? So listen, we want to be the true church that God says we are. Listen, the church has no equals on this planet for all time and for all eternity. There's no one like the church of Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. We are the bride of Christ. Listen, there is nothing greater, better than being part of the church of Jesus Christ. Being part of the body. Each one of you have gifts. Do you know the Lord? If Jesus is not your rock, he's going to be a rock of offense to you. Or maybe you're here this morning, Jesus is not your Lord. You know what you can do? I don't need to help you pray. You just reach out right now and you say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I want you to save me, Lord. Forgive me. And you know what he'll do? If you believe that in your heart, he will come into your heart right now. And you will walk out of this place as a brand new creation in Christ. That's what he'll do for you.
Pastor Bill's First Peter series continues on our next broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in for his message, The Most Hated Word in the World. And in the meantime, we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Thank you for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org
or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.